10 years ago, James Lazin was teaching a writing workshop at a college in New York City when he began mentoring a promising young female student working on a novel about pre-revolutionary Iran. While their relationship began as a friendly correspondence, her emails became flirtatious, then obsessive, and eventually filled with threats and accusations. She began trying to, in her words, ruin him and made her accusations public on the Internet. James Lazin recounts his story of being stalked in the age of the Internet in his latest book from Farrah Straus and Drew. It's called Give Me Everything You Have on Being Stalked. Mr. Lazin is a poet and novelist who has been shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize. His previous books include The Horned Man and Seven Lies. I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
You've called your stalker Nazreen, not her name.
No, not her real name.
How did you become her mentor?
She was in a graduate creative writing class I taught, and 2 years after she graduated, she got in touch with me. I actually wouldn't describe myself as her mentor. She asked if I would help edit her novel, and I actually said no, I couldn't, because I couldn't do it at the time. But I offered, I remember, you know, she had been a very talented student, and I offered to put her in touch with my agent. My agent looked at her work, didn't think it was ready to take on, and put her in touch with a freelance editor. And in the course of that, she and I had a very amicable correspondence. So I wouldn't describe myself as her mentor, but I was definitely interested in her work.
And she was an emigre from Iran. This was autobiographical?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe her novel was about her family's departure from Iran during the revolution in the 70s.
Is she still stalking you?
The last I heard from her was in the summer, 6 months ago, when she had moved on from email stalking to phone stalking, and she left a series of very, very violently abusive messages.
I can only wonder what she's going to do after she reads this book.
There's no way of knowing.
So did she seem to be flirting with you from the start, or is that something that developed?
That's something that developed and something that seemed to stop when I, at a certain point, realized, you know, I had to put a stop to it. I had to tell her, look, I'm very happily married, and, you know, if you're going to go on like this, I don't want to be in correspondence. And she seemed to take it very well, really graciously, and wrote a letter saying so, or an email saying so. And then it slowly started up again, and so did the volume of the emails, until I was getting many, many a day. And I simply stopped answering them at a certain point.
Now, she had met you at a writing workshop, and she used a lot of literary emails, a lot of literary references in her emails to you. And that intrigued you, didn't it?
She was a very, as I say, a very talented, literate person who seemed to have a future, I thought, as a writer, a real future.
And the agent you sent her to felt that she needed work on her novel. Did you?
Yes. I mean, the novel was only the first few chapters. It was very far from finished. But I thought that they showed a lot of promise.
She copied you on a set of emails regarding a sexual harassment case. What did that involve?
At a certain point, early on, before she became a hate mailer and a stalker, she started forwarding, yes, she got into some sexual harassment suit at a college where she was working. She had a job. And for some reason, she started copying me on her correspondence with her lawyer. And I found this to be very weird, but I stopped answering her by then.
So she was accusing somebody else of sexual harassment?
I believe
she was the implication. Did you, at the time, did you think she's kind of leading to something similar with me?
No, I didn't think she was at all. These were, she thought this would amuse me or somehow interest me. She and the person, I think they were both accusing each other. I'm not exactly sure. It was, I didn't really like to read this stuff, for one thing.
So little by little, it started slipping into something else?
Well, little by little, it started slipping into an obsessive thing, I would say, just by the volume of it. And then very suddenly, in fact, overnight, essentially, it turned from just obsessive many, many emails a day into this very violent mixture of hate mail and accusations.
She accuses you at various times in her emails of exploiting her for your work. using a figure like her or her words in your writing. Did you?
No, I didn't.
So,
nor did she ever say what it was I had really... her first accusation
was... You did ask her, can you give me an example?
No, I'd stopped writing to her by then. I thought she was. I thought it would be a mistake to be in any kind of correspondence with her at that point. And she didn't give an example, but she also was forwarding emails she was sending other people, and in some of those, I began to get a sense of what it was she was accusing me of. It was about a particular story of mine that had been published, and I think she felt that I had taken an idea that she had expressed in an email, which was completely untrue. But she never had spelled it out. This was just my conjecture.
Of course, you do use her to a large extent in this book.
Well, yes, 5 years down the line, I have written a book that does contain her emails, and there's just no way around that.
And what did you think that you would gain by doing this? I mean, was it just something that you felt you should share with the rest of the world?
Not initially, no. I felt that I needed to write. After a certain point, this campaign got so under my skin, and it really was succeeding in her aim to ruin me, to destroy my life. I mean, she was defaming me and denouncing me all over the place and using very, very explosive language, words like rape and so on. And I felt I needed to write.
She said you'd raped her?
No, she said that I had been involved in setting up, having her drugged and raped. She started moving towards an accusation like that, and finally she said that. And I felt that I, needed to write a document that would set the record straight. And that's how this began.
Well, don't you just call a lawyer or call the cops and say, this has gotten out of hand?
I did call lawyers and cops. I spoke to the FBI. I spoke at a certain point, the matter was taken up. She was sending these kind of emails, that was just one accusation out of many.
I think she was also anti-Semitic, you say.
Violently anti-Semitic as well. And she was throwing this stuff up, I suppose, to see what might stick. And I wasn't the only person that she was sending it to. She was also, by then, sending similar emails to my agent and to this editor that she had worked with. She was accusing us of being a Jewish conspiracy, that we had stolen her work and we were selling it to other writers.
And that sounds a bit paranoid. She was also linking you to American behavior in Iraq and Afghanistan. Had you been consulted by the Bush administration on that policy?
I can't reveal, but no. She kept sort of inflating the terms, and it was very crazy. And a lot of the time, I thought, well, this is just so ridiculous and so crazy. No, it doesn't harm me, it doesn't damage me. But it was mixed up with relatively sane. She could sometimes sound quite rational, and she could post something on the web that would sound rational, and then she would move into these very, very obviously sort of inflated, grandiose kinds of accusations.
My guest is James Lasden, who's written a memoir called Give Me Everything You Have on being stalked. Isn't it hard to defend yourself against this sort of thing? There are always people who think that where there's smoke, there must be at least some fire.
Absolutely. I think that's a very human reaction. I think it's a very fair-minded one, and I expected it. And that was one of the very difficult things to deal with. It was one of the reasons why I felt I had to write some kind of document, whether to post online or to just have to show to people, that set out what had happened, that showed her crazy emails as well as the ones that sounded, relatively rational.
What would you say she was doing more than just sending you emails? She was posting her accusations online. Can you protect yourself against that? Can you have them removed?
Sometimes you can. I mean, there would be things that would go up on Amazon, and after a while, if you hit the report button, if you fire off emails to enough places, Amazon will take it down. Not all websites will.
Oh, she was reviewing your books and saying things about you.
Yeah. And, for instance, I review books for The Guardian, and The Guardian has a comment section like most newspapers do underneath their reviews. And so she could just post a thing there, which she did, and it was...
Such as?
I think it was something along the lines, you had me drugged and raped in order to give money to AIPAC. I mean, it was very mad, very crazy, but my sense at that point was, well, people reading this, what are they going to think? They're going to think, okay, this is crazy, but perhaps there's something in it, or perhaps he has done something.
Or that James Lasden consorts with crazy people, and that must say something about him.
That too.
You described your own personality changes. What kind of emotional effect did this have on you?
Well, this thing has gone on for 5 years, at least, more, I think, at this point. And it's very, very stressful to have somebody continually trying to get under your skin, destroy you, make your life miserable, unrelentingly for 5 years. It's very stressful, and I began to suffer the symptoms of stress, insomnia, anxiety, etc.
What about your job? Was it ever threatened by Nasreen's campaign?
No. Not in the sense that anybody ever that I worked with, they all knew me well enough that I could show them all the everything if I needed to, as I needed to, and there was no problems in that way. But it undermined my capacity to do my job.
So you went to the FBI, you say. What did they tell you?
Well, I called the FBI fairly early on because, in my, I suppose, my naivety, I thought that once she began with the anti-Semitism, I thought, well, isn't this a hate crime? And isn't that a federal offense? And shouldn't the FBI, therefore, be the place to go? So I called them, and it turned out to be very much more complicated than that to get the FBI going on.
Well, sticks and stones, I think, is their general feeling about something like this.
Yes, yes. One of the people I spoke to said, well, you know, keep us posted and keep reading them and don't block the emails, because if it does escalate to threats of violence that are very specifically linked to the race question, then they might be able to do something.
Well, she called herself a verbal terrorist, but that's not the same thing as a terrorist.
Quite. I'd never heard that phrase before. I don't know if she invented it, but it was very accurate, because it was a kind of asymmetric warfare where somebody who is in a position of, as she saw herself, of absolute helplessness, can actually leverage quite a lot of power against somebody that they think is in a position of strength, which is how she saw me.
And most people would interpret what she was doing as a sign of mental illness. But still, how have people in your life, like your wife and friends, responded to knowing that you have a stalker? You still have a stalker, you say, at least up to less, 6 months ago.
It's very disturbing for everybody, and it's been disturbing for my family.
And you write, in reference to the Internet, spite has never had such an efficient instrument at its disposal.
That's how it seemed to me, because the Internet has been her instrument of choice, and I've seen how you can use it to damage people if you want to. You can hide behind, you can pretend to be someone else, you can be completely anonymous. There are many, many places where you can attack anybody who has any kind of public profile, like any writer, for instance, if you want to. And it's pretty hard to stop it.
You're not alone. We have very little time, but Karina from Westchester, you have a similar story?
Well, I was a tenured professor at Southern Connecticut State University, and one point a student who was a graduate student of mine sent threatening emails repeatedly to me, and the university did respond eventually, but their response was slow, and had this fellow coming to class who had been threatening, and it was very intimidating. It was very hard to take. In fact, it was one of the main reasons I left the university. It was just such an unpleasant and difficult, situation to be in.
Well, what this suggests is that because of the Internet, the special situation of the Internet, it's a lot harder to get people. Well, first of all, it's a lot easier to be attacked like this, but also a lot harder to get anybody to do anything about it.
It seems to be remarkably hard to get anything done about it at all. I mean, I fully sympathize with the caller there. The lawyers at the university where I work sent cease and desist letters, but they're not really enforceable. There's not very much the police can do.
And so you have no advice to someone who is being stalked?
Well, I do think you have to go to the police, and they, ultimately in my case, the police have been helpful. They've taken up the case, and I hope that they are going to bring it to some kind of conclusion.
James Lasden will be in conversation with Michael Greenberg at McNally Jackson tonight at 7 p.m. That's at 52 Prince Street. More information is on our show page at WNYC.org. His latest book is called Give Me Everything You Have, On Being Stalked. It's published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.